Who governs the UK general election edition? Well, colour me happy, the UK general election of 2017 is over, or more accurately, the June 2017 UK general election is now over, but only because there isn't enough time to call another one in June. Let's do a tiny bit of unpicking and start with the big story. Labour, led by Jeremy Corbyn, has lost the UK general election but picked up on a number of seats. The Conservative Party, led by Theresa May, won the UK general election, but lost a number of seats. She took what we call a perfectly workable majority and turned it into minority government. Just not the done thing. A note to people who don't know how this works. In the UK, there is a parliament with 650 seats. Any person elected to the House of Commons who can gain the support and confidence of the majority in the House of Commons can be asked by Her Majesty the Queen to form a government. Take the vote of the Speaker out of the question, and that leaves 649. A majority is therefore 325 votes. Now, recent history with its party system dictates that the government is formed by the leader of the largest elected party, which in this place is the Conservatives. But it doesn't have to be that way. Ah, Ben, you may cry. But Jeremy Corbyn gained more seats than you lost, so clearly the momentum is with him, and if he could get enough parties together, he should be given a chance to lead. Well, that is not how it works. The Labour Party gained 30 seats and have 262. Even if they could form a coalition with the Scottish Nationalists, Liberal Democrats and smaller parties, they would have 322 seats. The one party they can't have is the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland, which wants to keep Corbyn out as a stated objective. Theresa May's 318 and the DUP's 10 make 328, which is a technical majority of 3. In actual parliamentary maths, it's significantly more comfortable than that. Sinn Féin won 7 seats and they are abstentionists, so the actual magic number required for a majority falls to 322, and the number of non-Conservative or DUP votes available to Jeremy Corbyn falls further to 315, which is lower than the number available to Theresa May, even without the DUP. That includes, of course, a number of others who said they could not and would not support Corbyn to be Prime Minister. But of course, we don't know where they stand today. Now onto the campaign, which from the Conservatives was lacklustre in roughly the same way that Tom Cruise and Nicole's Irish accents were lacklustre in Far and Away. This was a bad election campaign, and the people behind it should feel bad. In the hours after the exit poll, people asked what was worse than an omnishambles. Some replied a kafifi, some said it was a clusterfuck. In reality, from now on, the official next tier above omnishambles will be referred to as a June 2017 Conservative election campaign. The Prime Minister avoided interviews, refused to debate, kept on robotically parroting the same line over and over again, and spoke with zero passion. The manifesto was written by someone responding apparently to an invitation to make the next 5 years as fucked up as possible, and the grand campaign, whilst excellent in many places, was simply not as effective as in... I can't believe I wrote that. Not as effective, not as illegal as in 2015, although, you know, allegedly. I would confidently predict that fewer MPs will face trips to the police station this time also, but we shall see. Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn went into city centres to speak nonsense, particularly passionately, to morons, which were all beamed across the airwaves and reinforced the impression that Corbyn is Bernie Sanders. The Liberal Democrats sent their homophobic godbrotherer from studio to studio to rudely refuse to answer anyone's questions. If you didn't catch the opportunity to see Tim Farron discussing politics with Andrew Neil, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Definitely worth it. The Democratic Unionist Party, since we care who they are now, they ran a grand campaign best described as unnervingly good, particularly in North and South Belfast, where any casual investigation of the figures gives Sinn Féin an easy-ish run. In Scotland, if we turn ourselves to the north, the SNP had a nightmare, losing 19 seats. Conservatives picked up seats hither and yon. Labour also rebuilt their base, which is frankly good news. The winner of the election in Scotland was the SNP. More votes, more seats, etc. But I will bet you any quantity of haggis that it doesn't feel like a win. The momentum there is with unionist parties, particularly with Ruth Davidson, the mercurial Geraldine bunny of a Conservative leader, who kicked ass and took names, including big names like Angus Robertson, the party's depute leader, and Alex Salmond, its former leader and former First Minister of Scotland. Elections are read in tooth and claw north and south of the border. And the end result then? The Conservatives had the best vote of any government since 1997, Tony Blair's landslide year, yet now faces into a minority government. The Democratic Unionist Party from Northern Ireland holding the balance of power. Although, if you like parliamentary mathematics like I do, you will realise that actually there are lots of parties holding the balance of power, but the DUP is far stronger than they have ever been. Nothing is fair and nothing makes sense from the outside in politics. And 3 days since the close of the election campaign, with Jeremy Corbyn plotting to unseat the government one way or another, that is who governs in the United Kingdom. It's the 11th of June 2017. I'll probably be back here not so far from now. Although there's no sense as people are going to want another election anytime soon. We'll see. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. Who Governs was recorded for the NobbyDonna.com website and podcast. Performed, written, and whatever by Ben Archibald. Probably should have been proofread by somebody else. And the music, as usual, was Polka Madre's Amsterdam. Take care.